Great to have you with us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. You know, Wisconsin citizens report sightings of birds and bats and frogs and toads and bumblebees, Karner blue butterflies. What does the Wisconsin DNR do with all those data? We'll find out from our next guest today, Paul Frater. Great to have him in the studio with me. Paul's a data analyst and surveys coordinator for the Wisconsin DNR, and he's involved with many of the agency's citizen monitoring projects of wildlife. You might be able to get involved, or maybe you already have been involved in one of these signs. I hope you join in. Let us know your experience, or if you have a question about these projects, please do give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Paul Frater, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Larry, so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Can you give me a little of the history of citizen monitoring? The Wisconsin DNR has a long history of this.
Yeah, so the two particular surveys that I am sort of in charge of overseeing are Operation Deer Watch and the Game Bird Survey. And these surveys are really designed to monitor population status of both deer and then wild turkeys, rough grouse, and pheasants in our state. And some form of these surveys has been going on since the 1970s, 1980s, by DNR staff particularly. And after a certain amount of time, I think starting in 2010, we decided, hey, we should get the public involved in these. And so that's when we started offering this as a citizen science monitoring program as well.
It's pretty cool. I'm wondering about the importance of the surveys and so forth. And how they're used.
Yeah, so these two surveys in particular are really designed to measure the reproductive potential or capacity of these populations. And so thinking about the ratio of juveniles to adults.
Okay.
And that really helps us to inform how this year's reproduction is and how that might help future populations.
Okay, so... How does the DNR, what does the citizen do, or how do you organize it?
Yeah, so we actually have a survey that we've developed through an app called Survey123, and that's the app that people would actually use to submit observations of deer or game birds. And so what they can do is on their smartphone, they can download this app, and there's a link on our DNR pages for these surveys to be able to do that, as well as a QR code that they could just scan. That'll download the app for you as well as the survey. So when they open it up, there's a tile for each survey that they can click on, and it's a really easy submission form. It's just a single page. They click the location, what they saw, how many, and basically hit the check mark to submit, and it gets sent to us.
And the location, they have to be pretty accurate on that, I assume.
Yeah, so we aggregate it at, you know, mostly the county level. To get sort of a broader index for reproduction or for juveniles to adult ratio. But yeah, we like to have it as accurate as possible. I mean, they don't have to get right to the exact location where the animal was. If they're in their car and they see something in a field, they can stop and park their car and submit the observation there. Or you can also do it from home where you zoom in to where you saw the animal and click that location as well.
So the DNR is partner with in the Wisconsin Citizen-Based Monitoring Network. What is that, and what other groups are involved?
Yeah, so we have a number of different citizen science projects that are going on. The main ones that are within the wildlife management program are these two that I'm talking about here, Operation Deer Watch and the Game Bird Survey. A couple other ones that we have that we use are the Deer Hunter Wildlife Survey, Snapshot Wisconsin, which is in another branch of our of the DNR, and that's a really great program that where landowners can implement trail cameras on their property to get wildlife observations. But we also, you know, collaborate with universities and other agencies to help aid in these wildlife observations as well.
Yeah. So, And I'm wondering, how many people do you get involved in these projects? I mean, the citizen science on that side of it.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, as many as possible. Anybody is welcome to download these surveys on the Survey123 app and submit observations. And the more observations that we can get submitted, the more confidence that we have in the data that we're collecting.
Yeah. I'm wondering about the Game Bird survey. We can talk a bit about that. What all are you looking for in the Game Bird survey?
Yeah, so there's three main species in the Game Bird survey, and we're looking for observations of wild turkey, ruffed grouse, and then also ringneck pheasant. And we want submissions of any observation of any of those three species, whether it's a lone bird, a group of males, a group of hens with poults. You know, specifically, we're looking for hens with poults, but we'll take any observation. That really helps us to develop an index of how the populations are doing across the state.
And when you say across the state, do you really mean across the entire state?
Yeah, absolutely. That just really helps us develop a really good spatial resolution for these metrics that we're trying to collect. And so even in areas where deer or these game birds are really common, we definitely want to get observations submitted of those things so that we can have a really accurate measure.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. So let's talk about maybe those individually for a minute or two here. The
sure.
Turkey population, let's start with them, because it seems like you can hardly go anywhere and not see a turkey.
Yeah, turkey populations are doing great throughout the state. Our last two spring turkey harvest seasons have been the fourth and fifth highest on record. Turkey populations are expanding in the northern part of the state, so they're really doing well.
Yeah, I've seen them in far northern Wisconsin, I mean right to the top of the state.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, and even up into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. They've really done well over there over the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, it amazes me that they've been able to survive and...
Yeah, they're an incredibly adaptable bird. You know, they can feed on all kinds of food sources. They seem to be able to find food all over the place. And I'm sure the relatively mild winters over the last few years have helped as well, especially in the northern part of the state.
Yeah. What about grouse? What's the grouse population?
Yeah, so grouse, you know, we sort of have a longer-term historical decline in grouse. We don't have the same populations that we used to back in the 1960s and 1970s. You know, especially in the southeastern part of the state and the driftless part of the state. In the northern part of the state, we still see quite a few grouse, and we still have a pretty strong grouse cycle. But that cycle has really diminished and declined, you know, in the driftless and the southeastern part of the state.
Yeah, that's too bad. Why do you think that? Do we know why?
I think it really comes down to habitat. You know, grouse are one of these species that really need young forest habitat to do well, and we've just lost a lot of that in certain portions of the state. And then I also think that, you know, the relatively mild winters, as much as they've helped the turkey populations, have probably not been so great for the grouse populations. They're really a cold-adapted species that need a lot of snow during the winter. They use that both for thermal cover to stay warm and also to avoid predators during the winter.
Yeah. Rob wants to know how you actually use the data that the citizens gather.
Yeah, that's a great question, Rob. Thanks. So mainly what we use the data for are to calculate a ratio of juveniles to adults. So in the case of deer, a fawn to doe ratio. In the case of the game birds, a poult to hen ratio. And that really helps inform us about the reproductive capacity of these species. For deer, the fawn-to-doe ratio is actually used as a parameter in our population estimates. And for game birds, it just helps give us a good indication for, you know, especially across time, sort of how these populations are doing with reproduction.
Somebody else emailed in to ask if the DNR wants suburban observations of wild turkeys, for example, the growing population in the UW-Madison Arboretum or in my backyard, practically.
Yeah, we like to take all observations, whether they're suburban or not. You know, and preferably we would get a nice a good smattering of observations from across the entire state, not all entirely in the city, but we'll take whatever observations we can get. The one exception to that is we don't take observations on trail cameras. So if you get a deer or a turkey or grouse on a trail camera, we don't want to submit those observations. And the reason for that is just that we can't be entirely certain if there are poults or fawns that are off camera that we're not seeing.
Makes sense. Yeah. Gene in Irma, Wisconsin has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about turkey vultures and how common they may be. I've been riding in this hay field with my horses for 30 years now. And the other day, and they're very used to turkeys everywhere. They just ignore them. But the other day, one of them was just freaking out and I couldn't figure out. And I looked at this huge bird sitting on a wire post. And I thought, that doesn't look like a turkey. And then I went home and it's a turkey vulture. Is that unusual in northern central Wisconsin?
No, I don't think so. I see turkey vultures quite frequently when I'm driving around the state. You know, a lot of times they'll be soaring up on thermals, looking for the next dead thing to find and come down and scavenge on.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much throughout the state. Yeah. You're going to find turkey vultures.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go, Gene. Thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I wanted to, you mentioned turkeys, mentioned grouse, and then pheasants, which are kind of a favorite of mine. They're always fun to see, and they're good eating and everything else. What's the situation with our pheasant population in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so we do have some wild pheasants in the northwestern part of the state. And there's a couple here and there, you know, in the southeastern part and some in the Driftless. But by and large, the biggest stronghold of wild pheasants is going to be in the northwest part of the state. Most of the birds that you're seeing in the southern part of the state are likely probably released pheasants.
Yeah.
Either from last fall or, just carry over from released pheasants.
It's actually surprising in the northwest part of the state.
In that area, northwest and north of Eau Claire. Not the far northwest. Those areas that have, you know, more broader grassland, more extensive grassland areas.
I think the elimination of fence lines and fence rows probably played a big role in the decline of pheasants. And when I was a kid, we had pheasants. I grew up on a farm, and we had pheasants everywhere.
Yeah,
and reproducing.
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. And I also think that just loss of grassland habitat in more agricultural parts of the state, doesn't help with those populations. I mean, they need cover to be able to reproduce and nest. So,
on the game bird survey, I think, are we coming to an end on that one?
So that one ends in 11 days at the end of this month here on August 31st. Any submissions that we can get for that survey would be great.
And then the deer one goes longer.
Yes, that one goes to the end of September. And that one goes a little bit longer because it's just a little bit easier to tell fawns from does into September than it is to tell poults from hens for the game birds. As our game birds, you know, grow throughout the summer and get more into the fall, they tend to reach more of a mature adult size, and so it's just a little more difficult to distinguish.
Yeah, I gotta believe May and June are probably 2 months that you really would love to have people out there looking, because that's when we're dropping fawns.
Yeah, but we actually don't start the deer survey until August 1st. And part of the reason for that is because, fawns are born in May and June. But a lot of times they're not quite as visible as they are later in the summer. Because they can be so susceptible to predation, a lot of times, you know, does will sort of hide their fawns and cover, and so it's just, they're just not as visible at that time of year.
Yeah, that's true. I actually seen on Facebook from friends some pretty young-looking deer, fawns, even this time of the year, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I should have those folks be getting involved in this survey. Lucy emailed, how do people who might not be survey savvy get involved in these surveys?
Yeah, so you don't have to be survey savvy necessarily. You do have to be able to use a smartphone. And I know that's, you know, maybe not the easiest for everybody, but if you have, you know, somebody else in your life that could help out with that, the hardest part is getting the app onto your phone and getting the survey downloaded. And once you have that, it's really quite easy to submit an observation. Like I mentioned, it's just a single page. You just click what you saw and send it to us. So that's really pretty easy to do.
Michael emailed to ask, how much statistical power do you have when using citizen science data? What are the limitations of using these kinds of data?
Yeah, so the statistical power for us really comes in from the number of observations. The more observations we can get, especially from all across the state, that really helps us with the confidence of this data and the ability to use it in, for example, in our population models. We do have, you know, our DNR staff members and members of other agencies, Forest Service and other partners are out there collecting these observations as well when they're in the field. But the more observations we can get, the better confidence that we have in that data.
Yeah, I would bet. How do you account for citizen science inaccuracies? Barty wants to know, who emailed in, meaning that somebody mistakes a grouse for another type of bird.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do have a lot of our local regional biologists actually go through and look at these data. We do kind of have to have an assumption that you know what you're looking at. So if you're not entirely certain, please don't submit an observation. Mm-hmm. But that said, yeah, we do have our biologists go through and kind of vet the data for their local area. And see if there's, for example, repeat observations. That's one thing I should probably mention, is that if you have deer or turkeys or grouse that are coming up into your yard or that you're seeing out in a field day after day after day, yes, only record those once. We only need those once.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
We didn't, I know that you're not involved directly with the chimney swift count, but can you explain what's going on there?
Yeah, so that's managed by a different branch within the DNR. It's our Natural Heritage Conservation, which is the program that more manages endangered resources, threatened and endangered species, non-game species. And they have a number of different citizen science projects and programs that you can get involved with. Everything from doing frog and toad surveys to chimney swift, like you mentioned, Karner blue butterfly observations, dragonfly observations. So they have quite a few different citizen science initiatives that they have.
And chimney swifts have been declining. I mean, there's a reason they're called chimney swifts.
That's right, yeah. Chimneys aren't probably used quite as much as they used to be.
And so that is, there's been a huge decline in them. I'm wondering, in your own case, how did you get involved in all this? What's your background and training? Talk a bit about what you do.
Yeah, so I have quite a broad background, mostly in ecology and natural resources. I have degrees in natural resource management and ecology, I have a PhD in population modeling, basically. And I got started with the DNR back in 2019, and I actually started in the fisheries program. And was there for about 5 years or so. And then just recently, last year, switched over to the wildlife management program.
Okay. And how do you particularly look at those data? I mean, are you the guy that's doing the evaluating of them and counting and so forth?
So for these particular surveys, Operation Deer Watch and the Game Bird Survey, I more coordinate the flow of information between the folks that are out there collecting the observations and submitting those observations and getting those data to our researchers that are in our Office of Applied Science and, summarizing the data that our species specialists can use.
And how many observations in the course of a year are you going to get for each one of those, the deer and the...
Yeah, so actually just checked this morning, and so far this year for our DNR deer observations, we have about 1,400 observations so far that our DNR staff and other agency partners have collected. And we've got about 350 or so that the public have submitted. We'd love to see those numbers increased. If you're out there and you see observations of deer, please submit those.
And how does a person get the app and so forth, and what do you do?
Yeah, that's a great question, Larry. Thanks. So if you just search for Operation Deer Watch Wisconsin DNR or Game Bird Survey Wisconsin DNR, you can actually get to, we have specific web pages for both of these surveys. And on those web pages, there's a QR code that you can scan. Otherwise, if you're navigating to them on a smartphone, there's a link that you can click that will download the Survey 123 app as well as the survey icon. And once you get that, then it'll be available on your desktop, and you can go in and click on the survey and submit an observation.
And we will put those pages up on our episode page here at WPR.org/Larry. If you go to today's date, you're going to find that information. So you're looking forward to a good fall season, hopefully, and we'll get a lot of people signed up to do this. Paul, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having me on.
Paul Frater is our guest today. He is a data analyst and the surveys coordinator for the Wisconsin DNR, and he zeroes in on the Game Bird Survey and the Deer Survey. So great to have him with us, and we'll probably get him back. Sometime we're going to have him back to talk about some of the implications of the data that are collected. Love to talk with him about that as well. Coming up, though, we're going to change direction and talk with the director, the new director, relatively new. He's only been on board for maybe 6 months or so, of the University of Wisconsin Arboretum, Patrick Boland. He is next. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR.org.